Early this week, President Trump delivered strong words about how to approach the opioid epidemic across the nation. Some 2 million people are said to be addicted to the drug. It's a public health crisis. The question is how best to deal with it. Hawaii's rate of opioid prescriptions is one of the lowest in the country. Right now, there are 490,000 opioid prescriptions, just under a half a million, and that covers about a third of our population. We talk with Surgeon General Jerome Adams about the president's plan.
I do think that, number one, the president has been successful in bringing attention to the issue by declaring a public health emergency, and I think that that emergency has allowed us to do several things. Number one, we've been able to expand access to treatment by granting five different states waivers to increase the number of beds for inpatient care. But even more importantly than that, or as importantly, is the $6 billion the president has been able to secure with Congress to devote to responding to the opioid epidemic. So we've got a long way to go, no doubt about it, but I am seeing progress.
And I know here in Hawaii, generally the trends lag behind what normally happens on the mainland, but we are, you know, obviously seeing some of that here now.
Absolutely, absolutely. When I look at the numbers, there were 77 opioid-related overdose deaths in Hawaii in 2016. We're expecting that final number to be even higher for 2017. And that's why it's important that everyone in Hawaii understands that this epidemic is affecting every community. And unfortunately, if we don't get our hands around it, then it's only going to continue to get worse.
There is a concern that some have raised about whether the president's aggressive tact on this might snare the wrong people, or at least the people that aren't really the ones responsible for this. There, you know, is some talk that, yeah, we should be going after the folks that are just so freely writing these prescriptions and that people do get addicted.
Well, one of the things that I often say is that there's plenty of blame to go around. There's blame on the part of prescribers, blame on the part of pharmaceutical companies. Law enforcement has not recognized this as a public health and a medical issue the way that they could have or should have. And even individuals, the people, we expect a pill to solve everything. There's been a slow acceptance of the fact that many factors are to blame, and we're not going to dig out of this with any one individual or by pointing the finger. As far as an emphasis on law enforcement, what I've focused on is trying to forge partnerships between law enforcement, the health community, and individuals out in the community so that we can use those law enforcement touch points and levers to help get people the treatment that they need.
Is there anything else that you can share, you know, just looking at the snapshot for Hawaii versus the rest of the country?
Well, we know, again, that overdose deaths are on the rise. We know that in Hawaii it's much more heroin that we're seeing. And, again, we're fearful that fentanyl is going to continue to creep up. And fentanyl is really the main part of the overdose surge that we're seeing on the mainland. So one of the things I'm focused on is helping folks understand that naloxone is a emergency medication that folks can keep at home to help respond to an overdose, and that folks in Hawaii can get it through a standing order without a prescription. So if they know someone who is at risk for an overdose, or if they're at risk for overdose themselves, I would encourage them to obtain naloxone, to understand how to use it, because anyone can save a life.
But is that very easily accessible?
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, in Hawaii, as in 49 other states, you can get it through a standing order or without a prescription from a pharmacy. The health departments are also facilitating access to naloxone. And if you're taking prescription opioids, you can even be co-prescribed naloxone along with your prescription opioid from your physician. And so it is a medication that's available to everyone. I think of it the same way I think of CPR. Everyone should know who's at risk and should be able to administer naloxone, just like you would know if your loved one was at risk for a heart attack and would be prepared to respond.
Okay, so that's how you're viewing it, is just have those precautions in place.
Exactly. I mean, we've got a person dying every 12 minutes in this country from an opioid overdose. And the only way we're going to turn this around is by making sure everyone is prepared to respond and not just hoping that we can call 911 in time.
Anything else you think is important to underscore?
Well, for your listeners, I think it's important that they know that they can play a part beyond knowing how to access naloxone. Having a conversation at home with your children about the dangers of opioids, at the boardroom table, at the break room table. If you know someone who you think may be misusing opioids, behavioral changes, mood changes, make sure you reach out to them and let them know that recovery is possible and connect them to supports and resources. Our national helpline, 1-800-662-HELP, is available to help individuals find treatment centers in their areas and localities. But I want folks to know most of all that recovery is possible, and we are seeing overdose rates decrease in some places because they've embraced this comprehensive look at addiction as a chronic disease and not as a moral failing.
Okay, so we all kind of have to look out for each other.
Absolutely. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And we got into this together, and the only way we're going to get out of it is together and not by pointing fingers. Better partnerships for better health is my motto, and better partnerships are what's going to help us get out from under this opioid epidemic.
All right. Well, thank you. We certainly do appreciate your time with us.
Thank you.
That was our nation's doctor, Vice Admiral Jerome Adams, the U.S. Surgeon General, talking about the opioid epidemic across the country and the plan released this week by President Trump for addressing that epidemic.
Alan Johnson is the CEO of Hawaii's Hina Mauka Rehabilitation Center, with decades of work on the drug epidemics that afflict the islands. His organization and others like it have been waiting for a federal plan for more than a year, so he's optimistic.
We're just happy that we have a plan, because before over a year we haven't had any plans, which has really been alarming to us. Mm-hmm. And now we have kind of a 30,000-foot plan, which has said we're going to do some prevention and education, and then we're going to do a lot of interdiction and arrest and build walls and death penalties, and then we're going to increase access to treatment, which we like, but we don't know exactly what that means. And some good things now that we have a plan. We're pretty happy that we're moving in a better direction, but some things we don't like about it.
You folks, and by you folks, I mean those who work in the drug addiction field, have been advocating treatment over incarceration for quite some time.
Yeah, and we have, and we're getting a lot of support by government now. We're getting a lot of support by hospitals and insurance companies, and I mean the evidence is overwhelming over some decades, and so everybody is shifting the last couple of years, and we're in the drug treatment field who have grown in expertise. We're getting a lot of popularity. We're not used to that, but we're getting a lot of people saying, including folks that we used to argue with, now a lot of them say, no, we believe you're right. We want to invest in you more. We think we could make a difference.
There's been ample research to support your perspective.
About 15, 20 years of it, so sometimes it takes that long before it gets really, sinks in at all levels. But we could really make a difference. And we know that addiction and the misuse is one of the top three leading causes of our exorbitant healthcare costs.
It seems to be the drug addiction problem seems to be moving away from street drugs toward pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, the pharmaceuticals, there were certainly some major misbehaving went on. Some very wealthy people and wealthy companies said, there's no reason for people to have pain. Take these opioids, they're really safe. And they did that for over a decade, and it turns out it's not true.
That was part of the protocol for prescribing things like OxyContin?
Yeah, so OxyContin, hydrocodone, all these opioid-based, it was mismarketed, poorly managed.
People were not warned about their addictive properties.
And doctors were looking at studies that turned out to not be really valid studies, put forth by these pharmaceuticals who said,
yikes.
There's no reason, it's not addictive, take as much as you want. And now we have some very good research, and it is highly addictive. And
you don't need much research to prove that.
It's
become a national epidemic.
Yeah, it's 50,000 people a year dying from it, and it's huge. And now we know a couple of things, too. We know that these opioids are important. They're good for acute pain. You come out of your hospital,
right.
Anesthesia. But now we know for chronic pain, you got bad, you know, you got arthritis and bad back. We know that if you use it very well, it makes your pain worse. It increases your sensitivity, so you move your pain threshold from 5 to a 9 just because of the opioid. So one of the first things to help you with your pain, if you're using a lot of opioids, is get you off the opioids, and that would lower your pain threshold, and then use alternatives. So we know it doesn't help you, and of course, illnesses and comorbidity and brain damage and all the kinds of things happen with that stuff.
You described the federal government's plan, which you've been waiting for a while, as a 30,000-foot plan, meaning what?
Right, it means that we had no plan, and all of a sudden we have some of the they're taking some of the verbiage of the federal agency that said, hey, we'll do some prevention, we'll improve access to treatment, and we'll do some incarceration. But we don't really have details. What does that mean? You know, I mean, usually at this stage, we would have a greatly detailed plan with some dollars and numbers tied into it and say, okay, we want to give naloxone to first responders, which we're starting to do here in Hawaii, which means, you know, would prevent overdose. The police and EMTs would have that. Okay, what does that mean? Are you going to invest money in that? Are you just supporting that? Public awareness campaigns, what is that? Is there going to be money tied to the prevention? And is it prevention for the community? Is it prevention for doctors and education for doctors? We don't know what that means. It's too – and at this stage when all us states are – have been, you know, under President Obama, we got some money to do planning. So all 50 states have got plans in place, and now we want to know, okay, where are you going to invest? Which part of the plan do we start with first? Because the things they're mentioning are what's already on our plans. We just don't know where the green light is.
Those plans are essentially waiting for implementation then.
Yeah, they're waiting for, you know, you need some resources, and we know that Congress put $6 billion out there, so it has to be spent along those lines. So we're trying to say, okay, what's the priorities and where do we start? And that's, you know, $3 billion a year for, you know, 2 years. That's a huge amount. So I think what happened is Congress said, look, you don't have a plan. We're going to help you with that. And so Republicans and Democrats, I mean, the one thing they agree on is we need to do more drug treatment. So there's no argument there. It's a nonpartisan issue. And they said, so we're going to give you a lot of money, $3 billion a year, do something. And so that's kind of driving this thing.
Given that these are Obama-era plans, are you concerned that they might be scrapped?
You know, yes. And then yet... you know, when President Obama put $500 million for 2 years, and that there were some work but a lot of planning and system change, that money didn't get released until President Trump was in office. And so a lot of us thought, great plan, but it's not going to be released. But it was released. There was no feedback at all. Now, there was a lot of talk about, you know, we're going to change the money to give it to churches, and they're going to save everyone on drug addiction, which, we do believe churches are a good part of it, but we believe it's a medical condition, need medical treatment. But so there was all this talk, but at the end, the money was released without any caveats to it. And so we were very encouraged by that. And I think that this... both Republican and Democrat pressure. The Republican states are worse off than the Democrat states, and so
with
it's a
opioids.
Big problem with the opioid issue. And it's a middle class problem. It's not a low income problem anymore. Opioids are you got an injury or illness. It's a middle class problem, and those are big impetuses for you need to do something. And so I think there's a lot of pressure to do some of these plans.
Past history of drug policy in America tends to indicate that once it becomes a middle class problem, it gets some attention.
Yeah, you know, we've heard that from even in, you know, went to Washington, D.C., and we heard some of the top leaders say, you know, we're sad to, you know, because they're scientists, and they say, we're sad to say that it takes a middle class problem for us to do something, but we're really good to say, hey, maybe we're going to do something, because we've had good science that could help a lot of people. Save a lot of health care costs, make the world a lot better place. We just need the impetus to implement them.
We probably should add a white middle class problem because race is not separate from this issue.
They did say that. They did say it's a Caucasian middle-class problem, and that changes how we look at it. And those of us in the field have been saying we've known that for a long time. I mean, we follow the demographics of whether you have a college degree or not, or whether you're this race or that. We see, you know, a disproportionate Native Hawaiian here in Hawaii has got a lot of addiction, but a lot of Caucasian and a growing number of Asians, you know, especially Filipino and Japanese has really got heavy addictions here.
In Hawaii, ice is a bigger problem than opioids still. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. So, you know, all the data has, I think it misleads us a little bit because we say, you know, if you've got a severe chronic addiction, yes, it's methamphetamine. It's methamphetamine followed by alcohol, followed by marijuana, mm-hmm. and opioids are growing. If you're talking about misuse, that you're using too much and you're harming your body, then it's opioids and alcohol. And we are certainly among the other 50 states have greatly over-prescribing opioids here. So we know that. We know we have about 400,000 prescriptions are going out a year. You know, we're 1.2 million population. I mean, it's aspirin with OxyContin and aspirin with hydrocodone. We know that's a huge problem, and we know that this misuse is harming you and leading you to other illnesses. So we know there's a problem there, and we know that accidental death, number one cause is opioid overdose. So here in Hawaii. So we know there's a problem here. We need to collect better data.
Are you optimistic?
Yes. You know, I've been on I'm really active, you know, on task forces and, you know, I'm the head of the coalition of all the treatment and prevention agencies in the state. And we've been doing this for a while. And so these task forces take 2-3 years. And this opioid task force was put together in November. And we put out a plan in February. And I've never seen so many, you know, 150 people show up every week. And we put a plan together so fast. And we put the plan together a couple of months. I mean, that was like the most optimistic thing I ever saw, starting with the governor and, of course, Dr. Jenny Pressler, who's a great leader for the Department of Health of Change, and Eddie Mercereau, too, for, you know, the chief of alcohol and drug abuse. But we had the attorney general there. We had, I mean, it was amazing. We had the police there and, you know, the FBI. It was a DEA. I mean, it was amazing that we all got along and that we all agreed and that we put down a comprehensive plan in this short time. It can be done.
Alan Johnson is the CEO of the Kaneohe-based rehabilitation center, Hina Mauka. He's also the chair of the Hawaii Substance Abuse Coalition. For more information on the president's plan for addressing the national opioid epidemic, visit the conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.